And also, I want to give praise to God that Chris is moving forward with his career. Boom, boom, boom. That's an answer to lots and lots of prayers. And also, Gordon has, is it pretty much official? Yeah, Gordon will probably be elevating to a new career as well, which has been a few years of prayer. Talk to him after if you want to hear that story. And I do have one more announcement. I apologize, but there's lots of, for not giving it to Terry, but there's lots of stuff. So we're going to do our cancer care ministry. As you know, bags with a bunch of stuff that we give for free up to the Cancer Treatment Center. Typically, the bag has blankets, which we have a ton of. We're not going to need this time, thanks to Stephanie, pretty much, and some other folks that have... Well, hey, you know, use what you got, right? She comes in with armloads of, you know, and we used to struggle to get them because it was the most expensive piece of all of it. But what we did was we figured out a while ago, I don't want to say we, this is something my mom sort of started doing. She called it the Mayshare Group after her Aunt Mabel and my Aunt Sharon, who both passed away from cancer. Actually, whatever. And so what we did was we said, what do people need that are going through chemo? Like my dad did, and like Sharon did, and like Brenda did. Well, how about some lip balm because it makes your lips dry? How about some sugar-free candy? Sugar-free because it weakens your teeth, so sugar-free. How about a journal to process through these emotions, which are really all over the place? How about crossword puzzles because you're shackled to this thing for a long period of time? So we handcrafted these gift baskets, and Mom just walks up and goes, here you go, and that's it. No cost to anybody else. It's just walking with them through hell. Sorry. You know, it's a tough time in life. It's the closest thing. You know what I'm saying? So what we do is we give that, and so... Saturday, what we're going to do is we typically have like a little get together where you put the bags together, you know, one this, blah, 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 blah. So what we'll do is, now that Bonnie's trying out Facebook, what we'll do is what we need is essentially hand sanitizer, sugar-free candies, water bottles we also throw in there, pens. What I'll do on the Norwood Free Methodist Facebook page is I'll actually just make a list of the stuff. And if you want to pick the stuff up, you can. You know what I mean? You're at the grocery store. You pick up some chapstick. Hey, a couple chapsticks. Here goes. And then Saturday, they're going to be putting it all together. So Saturday at 1 o'clock here. Now, there's other things going on next week, but some folks will still be able to be here Saturday at 1 o'clock. Yes, Brenda? Well, that's the thing, guys. I think, well, we're going to talk about it today, but we're called to, you know, none of us in here are perfect. We hurt people. We screw things up. But one thing we can do is be Jesus to people that need us. And they say love covers a multitude of sins. Reach out and help the people that are hurting. And that's one way to do it. It's actually, in my opinion, it's one of the, I'm most proud of that ministry to any ministry I've been a part of. Because it's people who can give nothing back. We want nothing from you. And there it is. So what we're going to need to do too is pick up some blank note cards. Because what I think would be a nice touch is handwritten things that say something along the lines of this. We give this gift in hopes that it'll help you through your journey. We are praying for you. God loves you, and so do we, the Mayshare Group at Norwood Free Methodist Church. And being if it's handwritten, it's not like, ugh, God. No, it's loving, right? We're not asking anything from them, but we're also not hiding the fact that we're doing this because of Christ. You know what I mean? That's a tough line to walk. That is a tough line to walk. But anyway, so let's jump into the message. I sort of just did because it's the same idea. But one thing is very clear to me this week. We are a church in transition. And it's exciting, and it's an exciting time to be here at Norwood Free Methodist Church. And here's what I mean. The last month or so, I see that God has been doing some kind of surgery in-house. In other words, the messages have been kind of therapeutic, coaching, discipling. For example, we talked about pits with Joseph, right? We all find ourselves in pits. One of the pits you can have is a car crosses the line, boom, hits you. You didn't do it. Somebody else did it. But now you're in a pit. Things aren't the way they're supposed to be. Like Joseph, he finds himself in a pit. And one of the things we discussed is it's what you do in the pit that determines where you're going to end up. Your heart posture and things like this. We talked about being encouraged that life is in seasons. And seasons will always change. And if you're in a difficult season right now, that message would have been really encouraging. Because guess what? It's going to change. And what's cool is there was a season where Gordon was like, Where is this life and life abundantly? I'm really unhappy in my employment. I'm going to continue to work faithfully. But AJ's saying there's seasons, and it changed. Well, done. Chris, the same way. You feel like you're stuck in a rut. You're spinning your wheels. You're not where you want to be. But guess what? It's just a season. Just a season. It's going to end. And in February, we'll have the same conversation. March, when we're like, when will winter end? But we know it does, right, though? That's the whole idea. Our life is in seasons. It's not just, oh, it's going to be this way forever. No, nothing can be this way forever. There is a time for everything, says Ecclesiastes. And understanding that will give you the strength to push through those long seasons. I know spring's coming. It has to. Things are going to change for me. Things are going to get better. And that was the story of Joseph. Then we looked at control. That one was kind of woof to me, that message. If you haven't heard control a couple weeks ago, go back and listen to that. I'm still working through that. We're called to only control one thing. Lots of us are uncomfortable when we feel like we're out of control in a situation or the future or whatever, but the only thing we're actually called and given permission to control is ourselves. And what's ironic is if we're busy trying to control everything else, the one thing we're not controlling is us. And those who struggle with control rarely control themselves. They're some of the most swayed by emotions, swayed by moods, swayed by circumstances people, because they're so busy controlling everything else. This is how I think it should go, that they're not putting that energy and resource into controlling themselves. That message, I believe, could change anything in anybody. I was so shocked with some of the stuff that came out about that. Honestly, guys, go back and listen to that, because we all do. We all lose sleep. What's school going to be like tomorrow? What's this new job going to be like and all that? And then God says, because I'm telling you, I'm not smart enough to come up with this stuff. He's got to be talking. Anxiety is your spirit's way of letting you know that you are controlling something you're not meant to. Come on, that's dynamite. Just like pain, like my wrist hurts. So I had a little bump right there. That means, hey, AJ, take care of this. You know what I'm trying to say? Pain is a way of letting you know your body's out of balance. Anxiety is the way of letting you know you're out of balance here, because you're trying to control something you're not meant to control. So if you have anxiety, there's your symptom. And you know what you do? You cast your cares upon the Lord. Go back and listen to it. I feel like re-giving that message right now, but I don't have it. That's a huge thing, because we all struggle with this, guys. We do. We're constantly told to surrender things to God. He's more capable of controlling than we are. And we surrender it all to our good, good Father. Go back and listen to it. Last week, we talked about giants. We all have Goliaths in our lives. And most people will sit and tremble, like Saul and his army did, never reaching the promises that God has given for us in our lives. But last week was a little bit different than control. Control was talking about letting go and release. Giants message last week was talking about you got to stand up and you got to conquer the land. It says, on this rock of truth, I'll build my church, says Jesus, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it if they'll stand and storm the gates. Are you following me? Yes, okay. Am I losing it? I know it's a recap, but I know we like wicked turnover. Half of you weren't here last week. Half of you are. If we will stand and go and conquer the giants, the gates of hell won't prevail against us. But most of us won't. Most of us will sit there and say, there's giants in the land. I'm just hot-tempered. I'm just addicted. I'll never get there. I'm just broke. And you watch the giants walking around your promised land. And I said last week, stand up and in the Holy Spirit and the power God gave us, conquer that land. It's true. I thought of Luke when we talked about that. I thought of Luke. School is a giant. Conquer it. And you'll meet a bunch of butthead kids that might be giants. Conquer them. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'll never be overcome by anything. Somebody chooses to mistreat you. So Goliath was sitting there screaming at David, wasn't he? And David said, shut up. Why would I listen to you? You don't get to define me. You have no touch on my destiny, right? And furthermore, I'm just going to riff then, guys. If you share this to anybody who's in school, who's in charge of getting you where you need to be in life? Say it, anybody. God. Well, no, listen. In his heart, the man plots his course, but the Lord determines his step. You do your best, God will get you where you need to be. You remember we talked about that? If I don't study, then I'm going to fail. If I fail, I won't graduate. If I don't graduate, I'll never get the job. Whoa, that's a lot of power of little old you, isn't it? How about this rethinking? If I do my best, I believe God will prosper me. He'll make sure I graduate. He'll get me to my destiny. You know what you do as a student? You sit back and chill, you do your best, and that's it. I was such a weirdo in school. I did my best, and I was on the high honor roll, but if I got a C, I went, well, I did my best. I wish Mom was here, because she would tell you that. I'd come home and give her a C, and she'd be like, what is this? You know, heaven forbid I got a C, even though my brother always did. He did. If I got a C, I'd say, hey, I did my best, and my parents would go, well, what do you say to that, you know? You win some, you lose some. I was terrible at French. Still am. Right? I don't care. You do your best. You let God sort it out. Seriously. Man, I'm going to give all these messages again, Mike. Talk about getting fired for the wrong reason, getting a better job the next week. I want to talk about that. But anyway, those were all sort of in-housey sort of stuff. And I like that. That's what I like most to do up here. to talk about things like that. It's been a fun and fruitful month or so, but I got to tell you, I'm feeling something really strong lately. I feel like we're approaching a change of season. It's an exciting season of reaching people and introducing them to Christ. And I'll tell you about that as we go. But just give me a slide, Brian. Let's move forward. Mark, some people say that this is actually Peter's gospel, and Simon Mark wrote it down. Go look that up. Jesus said to them, "This is what you should do. Now that you've met me, and now that you know your life will never be the same again, and your eyes have been opened to the fact that the world is actually a different way than you thought, now you go into the world where you used to be, and you tell them the good news of what I've done for them. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Number one, I need to say this. Baptism, if you look at the entire council of the Bible, baptism is not a prerequisite for salvation. I'll give you one example and one alone, and then we'll move forward. Jesus, remember me when you get into your kingdom, because I'm about to die. And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." And you can mess with the comment that today, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, he was given a guarantee of salvation from Jesus himself, and he had no shot at getting down, dunking, and coming back up. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward changed heart. So if you've heard that, or you come from a system that says, "Well, you weren't baptized," there's no, that's not the Bible. That's some sort of religion or church. Okay? He who believes and then shows it with baptism, if given the opportunity, will be saved. I can hang on to this forever. But who does not believe will be condemned. Let me clear up one other thing on this. Jesus later says, "I did not come to condemn the world, but to save it." Let me just tell you this real quick, some theology, because I'd like to give you stuff to chew on, even though we're going to have a fairly light message. Jesus did not need to come into the world to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned. The word that God had spoken held a standard up. Humanity fell. It was already condemned. In other words, like, nobody needs to condemn you. Marty, you fell short. You fail. No. We're already condemned. God has spoken words about standards of behavior and holiness, and all of us have fallen short with no shot at doing it. It's a fallen nature. So Jesus says, no. Y'all are already condemned. The sentence has been passed. But I'm here to either take the place for that judgment or punishment, or not. Those who believe, and then signify it with baptism, I'll take their punishment for them. The judge has already spoken. Guilty. Every single person that ever lived. Guilty. But the choice now is, does Jesus take the punishment or do you? Do we understand that? I'm building here, I promise. You all think this is common sense, and I like to give you practical ways to express that, and you'll see why in a second. So let's talk about evangelism. Let's talk a little bit about sharing our faith. And don't stiffen up. We're commanded to do this, right? Nobody hates these talks and that obligation, because it is. But let's break this thing down. Let's move forward on this. Okay. Jesus offers to take the condemnation, like we said, and only he can do that. And everyone on this planet needs him to do that for him or her. We all agree with that. But in order to do that, let's make this common sense. They need to know about it. They need to know about it. And just because you know about it or have known about it since you were a fetus, in this North Country here, lots of people don't know about it, guys. And let's face it, most people, let's just talk about Norwood, New York. My hometown, I have the authority to talk about Norwood, New York. Most people have a terrible misconception about Jesus. Do we agree with that? Amen. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mark. Good to have you supporting me here. They see other people's behaviors and ideas like me. They've been kicked around or ignored by churches or whatever, guys. This is the truth. Let's look at Romans, please. But I want to say this. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? They have misconception about who Jesus is. They heard a song like, "You're a good, good father." People go, "What? No. This is God with his whip behind his back waiting, watching me with my girlfriend, waiting to get me." That's what I believe for 17 years, because that's all I knew. But how will they know anything different unless somebody tells them? How will they know? They're not turning into, I don't even know, this is how not churchy I am. K-Love, is that a Christian station? Right, I don't know. They're not going to tune to K-Love. Is it even coming up here, guys? Does it come in? They're not going to just miraculously hear "Good, Good Father" and be convinced of it. Okay, who's going to go? I want to build this slowly here. either somebody's got to tell them or they won't know the truth, right? A friend of someone in here, I'm not coming at anybody, this is something that actually happened, was invited to this church, and the person said, oh, I can come? And the person said, yeah. She goes, oh, I thought I had to like know a bunch of stuff and believe a bunch of stuff before I could come. This is what we're dealing with, guys. So let's talk about this for a second. That's an individual, a lady, who has no choice but to lean her life against herself and her best efforts and own strength. Does anybody know where that leads? I sure as heck do. Crumbles. Or maybe she can lean her life against money, because that's secure, right? Jobs? They'll always take care of you. No, they won't. Or material possessions, which rust and moth destroy them. She thinks that she's got to do a bunch of stuff before she can sit in here and hear about Jesus. How's she going to know any different unless someone tells her? Had a family here, what, a couple, last week? 2 weeks ago? Really enjoyed the service. Loved you all because you all greet people and all that, right? And you're very loving. Let's make sure we're doing that. But they were like, we didn't know if we could come because we didn't bring our dress clothes. But then we saw you, AJ. I was wearing a t-shirt. I almost just wore the Packers shirt today, but I had a little bit of guilt, and I thought she'd yell at me. But Alex is wearing a Packers jersey, so it was kind of a father-son thing. It's opening day, guys, and it's actually at 1 o'clock, so talk faster, AJ. Let's go. right? How are they going to know the truth unless someone tells them, guys, about Jesus, about faith, about church? Who will go is the question. And so let's pound through this here, guys. Common sense. You share and talk about what excites you. And I know that because I see your Facebooks. Or here, hey, whoa, did you hear that new band? Have you seen Batman versus Superman? We talk about what we enjoy, right? Don't exclude Christ from that, guys. Don't do that. I was talking to this kid one time. It was Brandon Snell, which nobody in here probably knows, but we're sitting in the van and he's like, I was talking about Jesus. I said, bro, you're going off to college, man. He was like a little brother, so I could talk in a different way than I would most people. I didn't have to sugar. Bro, you're going off to college, man. I'm not going to see you. Like, you've heard me talk about Jesus all the time. Like, where are you at, bro? Like, seriously, that's what he needed. And he says, well, man, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, listen, you're always introducing me to bands and stuff because you're passionate about them, right? He says, yeah. I said, so that's why I talk about Jesus to you. And he goes, oh, well, that makes sense. Okay, keep talking about it then. Right? Guys, that's it. It's about what it means to you, to me. That's an inoffensive way of sharing your faith is that way. So let's look at three practical thoughts, guys. One way you can partner with God and be obedient in reaching out is understand that you have a sphere of influence in this life that no one else has. Step one. Well, actually, step one is realizing we've got to tell people about Christ, show them Christ. We'll get there. Number two is realize you're the only you on this whole planet. And you have a sphere of influence that I don't have, that Bruce doesn't have, that Chris doesn't have, unless you're AJ, Bruce, or Chris. God has put you in a specific place at this time where only you can say certain things to certain people. Do you understand that? Only you are you. And that's awesome because you sit there and think, well, AJ will do it. He's a good talker. I could not do what God needs you to do because he put you there to do that. Yeah, just because I sit 3-4 inches up higher means nothing. I could not talk to your family members the way you can, your coworkers, your friends. God gave you that sphere of influence when it comes to sharing your faith, walking it out, whatever it may be, God. Guys, one thing I always say is this, and I ripped it off from Flatirons Church. Sovereign God has trusted me with part of his kingdom. Part of God's kingdom is sitting in the back right there. His daughter, my wife, he's trusted me with her. But my friends, my family, sovereign God has trusted me with a piece of his kingdom. And he gave it to me to take care of. So in my job, where I am and with my family, only I have that piece. Only I can do what God needs to do in that. Now, the only reason I tell you that is because, like I say, everybody's got excuses. Well, I don't know. You're right where you need to be, guys. You're just fine. You've got everything you need to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put you there. Do you follow me? Because yes. When you go to work tomorrow and say, oh, geez, I know that Anne has really been struggling and she's going through a divorce. And I really, you know, and we're going to get to this in a second, but she would really enjoy our church. But I just don't know. What if she starts asking questions? And when you start thinking about that, I want you to hear AJ's voice. I'm here on purpose. I have everything that I need to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. So I can step forward and be bold and comfort someone and show them Jesus or even talk to them about him, okay? You can. You guys can. I know this is a tough one, guys. I know, but we'll do this. You are there for a reason, okay? Before we talk about words that can be said, it's important to understand that sharing faith isn't always words. And lots of people like this portion of the message, but we're all gifted differently, but we must never hide Christ, is what I'm trying to say. Caring for someone, calling them when you know they're upset, sharing what you have, being Jesus to people, like with the cancer care baskets, being Jesus to people in your life is a very valid way of showing people Christ. But we have to know, and this is the hard part, guys, don't ever hide Christ in your life. And what I'm trying to say is this, make sure, you know, I'm charitable, I'm compassionate, I'm a good person. There's no room for that in what we're doing, serving the North Country. It's, no, I believe that I'm supposed to love people, that's why. You know, Jesus tells me this, this is why I'm being this person. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because lots of times we'll be like, I'm really showing them Christ, and they think, well, I'm just being charitable. I'm a good person. Me, 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 me. The reality of it all is, Christ can't be left out of that conversation. And I don't know what that looks like. I'm not putting anything on you guys. My whole thing is I just never hide him. That's what I do. I don't beat people up with it, but I just never hide it. What do you, you know, what are you doing this weekend? Going to church on Sunday, man. I don't avoid that conversation. We don't got to go into it if you don't want to, but that's what I'm doing, right? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I know I'm not losing you, but I'm going to give you practical things here. We don't ever hide our faith, guys. I know don't jam it down people's throats, obviously, but we just don't ever hide Christ. We don't ever hide Jesus. And that's what we're all afraid of when it comes to evangelism. I don't want to be that guy, right? Serve the people around you, guys. Be Jesus to them. And if and when they recognize that what you're doing is out of your faith, that's a powerful witness for who Jesus is. Does that make sense? If they recognize that. I guess we're going to do this picture. I'm going to bounce around a little bit because we're going to get somewhere real quick. Is that what I had next, Bri? Oh, I did. Well, okay. This is good, right? We are the church and we need to understand this. And trust me, guys, this is what God has been speaking to me all week. The church does not exist for anybody in this room. We are the church and we exist for the world. This is not a country club. This is not how you like to do things. We are the church, and this season is going to be a season of reaching outward. And that's called sacrifice, and it's called service. And lots of people don't want to do that. Do we need to go back to the first slide? If you want to, go into all the nations. If you feel equipped and ready, go into all the nations. No, he says, hey, I'm the king. King Jesus. His order is that we reach the people driving on 56. I've got practical ideas, guys. I'm rolling out a bunch of different things we're going to be doing as a church. But, guys, this is not, I mean, the chairs are comfy, but they're not, don't let them get too comfy. We're supposed to be reaching out and reaching out and reaching out. Does anybody agree with that? Thank you. That's what the prayer requests are for. We see people who need to be leaning on Christ Jesus, and how are they going to do that if no one ever tells them, right? Now's a good time to tell you that some of the exciting things that are going on here at the church, and that we're aiming to do exactly what we've just talked about. No way am I going to give this message and call myself a leader and not go first. That's bad leadership. Because leadership is not you do this, this, this. Leadership, I'll go first. Watch me. So here's what's going to happen. In a few weeks, you're going to see a huge sign appear down there. And it's going to say free beginner guitar lessons. And I'm going to do what I did to make a living for 2 years in England. I hate doing it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to teach whatever little kid comes walking in here from 6 to 7, going to teach him guitar lessons. Right? Free of charge. Because I want to get to know the people that live around this area. I want to get in their lives where maybe they need some help. I want to start reaching out. And again, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'll be here. And again, I hate doing it. Ring, 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 ring. Can only do about 45 minutes of it. But that's one thing I know I can do to reach out. And again, I'm going first. So 6 weeks of that. Now picture this, ready? This is how I picture it. I've got no agenda. I'm not going to be preaching. I'm not going to be forcing them to pray before we play guitar. I want to show up and teach these little kids how to play guitar. And adults too, if they want. I taught this lady who was losing her sight in England. It meant the world to her that she could play guitar. She could see it and learn. And then when she lost her sight, she could play music. It was awesome. I'm proud of that, man. I was to be a part of that. But anyway. So we're going to sit here and we're going to play guitar. And of course, we're going to be friendly because building relationships is where evangelism happens best. Don't tell me what I'm doing wrong. Don't tell me what I need unless I know you love me. Yeah. Don't knock on my door. If the Packers are playing or I'm eating dinner, you're going to be a problem. Hey, do you need to? Shut up. Now, if somebody I know says, AJ, listen, there's a better way, I'll listen to you. You understand what I'm saying? So we're going to build relationships through guitar lessons. Maybe I get to know their dads and moms as they're sitting here. And then one day, one of them comes in and doesn't look right. Hey, how's it going, Bill? So I've seen him for the last 3 weeks. What's up, Bill? You know, things aren't really. All right, buddy, come on. Let's go into the office and talk. Now I get to help them. I get to be in their lives. But if I'm not willing to sacrifice and drive here, tune the guitars, and help, it's not going to happen. So that's what we're going to do. Anybody else wants to help with that? Cool. But if not, I'll turn the lights on and I'll do it myself. Let's go first. Another thing we're going to do shortly after that, as the winter time comes in, we're going to do an old man's basketball league. By old man, I mean myself. We're going to be terrible and terribly out of shape. We're going to rent out either Potsdam or Norwood's gym. And guess what you would do? This is not for us. I don't like basketball. I'm terrible at it. But I know what I can do. Hey, Darren, you don't come to church here, but you want to come play basketball? It's free, man. We're terrible, but a good exercise. And then you start talking to your coworkers, right? Hey, yo, we rent out the gym. Oh, what do I got to do? Nothing. Just bring your sneaks, man. It's not that. Next thing you know, there's 12 dudes, 15 dudes, 18 dudes who get to know each other. You think it's an easier transition to then say, yo, what are you doing Sunday, man? You want to come to church? You know all of us. We're all standing here. Isn't that a lot easier? Yeah, it's like knowing someone or cold calling someone, but it requires sacrifice. I think something that would be nice for the ladies, we've got a dynamite sound system, courtesy of us and my recording studio. We've got a nice little room here. You know what you could do? You could do some exercises here. I got a jazzercise instructor who is a friend of mine. Why not? Hey, teachers, there's Steph and her team, right? Hey, my church hosts say, oh, and by the way, it actually doesn't cost you anything if you do it here. Or Zumba. Zumba's hardcore, though. I don't know if we want to just jump to Zumba. All of a sudden, Thursday night, you're putting down mats, moving chairs. We're using this building to reach people for Jesus Christ. Because God gave, let us use this building. So now, you got 20 ladies in here making friends. Not talking about Jesus, not correcting them, just being in their lives. And that's what it's all about. Those three things. That's what's going to be happening. Yes, sure.
Remember the painting classes too.
And we got painting classes, which have been doing that. They've been doing that, absolutely. The same vision, which is just friendship, relationship. Right, guys? And so that's, I think, going on. Of course, we've got the cancer care ministry still going on, which Mom wants to actually branch out to not just, because we're doing a good job of stocking the Potsdam Treatment Center. But then you hear about these little kids, too. Mom heard about a little kid who this and this happened, and then he got meningitis or something like that. We could start doing little kid ones, too. Start throwing toys in those bags and designating them for kids that are maybe up there. What do we think? Huh?
Nursing
homes, too. The sky's the limit, guys. But it's going to require sacrifice. But if we don't do it, who will? Right? We can stay home, or we can actually be Jesus to the North Country. And it's cool. Listen, let's step back for a second. There's power in seeing seasons. Zoom out. We've been together for a year and a half-ish. We've taken time to solidify as a family, to adjust things and get systems into place so we're comfortable, we're healthy. Year and a half full of teaching. Lots of people have matured and grown up. Now it's time to put the marching feet on. Put those boots on the ground and start talking to people about Christ, loving them, getting them in here so they can learn a better way to do life. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all seem excited about that. Is that cool? I gotta work on my jump shot. Or as he said, dust off my jump shot. I never had one to begin with. I'm in trouble. Oh, seriously. But it'll be fun. We're gonna keep it, you know, not competitive. Men build relationships shoulder to shoulder. It's true. Doing stuff together. Nothing bonds you, right? Bill and I putting together a play set, swing set, right? Shoveling down there with Terry. Men build relationships shoulder to shoulder doing stuff. Like throwing a ball through a hoop, right? So I think that's awesome. And also, guys, that's serving them because it's giving them something to do. There's no nothing to do around here. Well, now there is, and we're paying for it. Just come and show up. That's service. The same with the exercise group. So anyway, so let's keep going, guys. Oh, I almost forgot one. That excludes a certain group of people in here. I see that. So I've been thinking about it for 6 months with counsel from other people. Here's another idea. Because honestly, some of you guys, retirement age, you're not going to want to come throw a basketball through a hoop. You're not going to come do Zumba. Although it would be great if you did. That's cool. Do that. I'm talking about the men. What about a dinner group where we go to different restaurants every week? We try at a different restaurant. And it's not for you. It's for those people who are not sitting here. My mom could probably stock a 20-person table from the people she works with. They go to dinner right now. They're not going to walk in here. But if they build relationship, right? Or if you can't afford it and don't want to do it every other week. But next thing you know, you've got relationships. You get to be Jesus to these people. And I believe that Christ inside of you can't be hidden. And we're going to look at a city on a hill in a second. I believe that Christ inside of you will move forward. God will speak through those relationships to these people. Exciting, right? Want to hear my prophecy? This is true. I really feel this. We're going to be busting at the seams by December. Busting at the seams. We just did that parking lot. Let's use it. But see, if we start building relationships and start getting out there in the world is hungry for Christ. They just don't know it. Well, we're going to be the ones to show them through relationship. Good? We cool? Yeah, I've been working on that for a long time. It's all happening. So, all right, next thing you know, as far as speaking, let's get going here. Let's look at this next slide. Yes, okay. We don't hide Christ. Next slide, please. I wanted to do the, go with the 1 Peter one, I guess. I had that. Yeah, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Lots of us in here have done that. But here's the thing when it comes to talking and evangelizing. Just be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. When something happens to you and it doesn't crush you, and people go, how are you holding it together? Be prepared ahead of time. Well, you know what? God is very real in my life, man. And he's been huge in the last couple years. Just be prepared to give an answer. What does that mean? That means maybe you prepare ahead of time. Just do a little bit of work. Just do a little bit of work. That's it. I told you about a guy who was going to get married, and I asked him why. And you know what he said? I said, so you're going to ask her to marry you? He says, yeah. I said, why? I don't know. I said, dude, can I just be a friend to you for a second and stop you right there? I'm serious. I don't know. That's childish, man, right? We got to live life on purpose here. We need to understand what, why. Why do you have hope in this situation? Brenda going through cancer, right? Why do you have hope in this situation? Losing people we love. Why are you okay? Be prepared to give an answer for that. Why you're never hopeless. That's evangelism, guys. Don't church it up. You don't need a script. There's no right thing to say. Holy Spirit will speak through you. Just be prepared to give an answer for your hope. That's it. That's it. Why are you not crushed and crumbled? Second very easy thing we can do when talking about evangelism is, and don't wait just because the church is rolling stuff out. Don't wait. This is not what this is about. I was letting you know that it's put up or shut up here too, that I'm doing it too. Back to you and your daily life. One of the very easiest things you can do is invite people to worship with you. Set out to do that, right? And this is big. We are to live in community. We know that, guys. And we all know hurt, lonely, lost people that probably don't feel welcome in churches. Well, I still, stop you right there, buddy. So do we. Remember I used to wear my Me Too shirt? Anybody from way back in the day? Well, I sometimes doubt, me too. I'm not fully convinced about this whole stuff. Well, me neither. Me too. It didn't work. But you see what I'm trying to say? Hey, I think you'd really enjoy our church. And then you tell them what you like about it. I really love the music. The musicians work really hard. They've been playing together for 3-4 years now. Is that right? Working real hard together. The people are so friendly, right? The guy up there, he doesn't try to talk over your head. I know that about myself because I'm not that smart, so, right? I understand what's being said. You tell them what you love. Invite them to church. That's if you trust me and if you trust all these people sitting around you. Invite them. That's an easy thing to do, right? Right. Invite them. And what's funny is, what does Jesus say? They say, Jesus, what's this all about? Say the disciples. And you know what Jesus says? Come and see. Come and see. There's your two very powerful words you can say at your workplace. Come and see. What's it all about? What's your church believe? Just come and see, man. Come and see. We'll have a seat for you. All right, so let's skip this stuff, guys. Be purposeful in prayer. That's the last thing we're going to talk about evangelism. We know, guys, that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father lest it's through me. But if you rewind a few chapters, you'll see, no man can come to me, says Jesus, unless the Father draws them. What do we see? We see a closed loop. Don't you? If that's the way, it's a closed loop. So what has to happen? God's got to bring someone into that loop. God and God alone can do that. And that's another thing. Not your words, not what you're doing, but God can do that. So how do we get God to move? What has he told us to do? Pray, right? Prayer is the way that we see God move. That is what he has told us to do. No man comes to the Father lest through me. No one comes to me lest the Father draws them. So why don't you start asking me to draw them in? I honor the prayers of my kids, says God. I listen to Alex when he talks to me. I listen to Izzy when she talks to me. She's starting to talk. It's awesome. Dada, Mir, Dada, come here. That's her first two-word sentence. That means, Daddy, get over here. Dada, come here. Initial pat. Whatever, I don't care. Bragging about my kids. That's been my highlight of my week. So you pray. You pray people into that situation. That's what we do, you guys. So you can invite people to church. Don't ever hide Christ Jesus. Pray for those people you know who need him. We all know that without Christ Jesus, we pay our own penalty. Start being purposeful in prayer. You pray that it's done in people's lives. You stand in the gap in the spiritual realm. You are heard by the Lord. You are present, and others are not at this point. So I want to challenge you with something this week. I predict that 15, maybe 10% of you will actually do this, but this is something I want to do. Think of five people that you know are particularly struggling or just simply are living life without Christ. And I want to challenge you with this. And you'll see it this week at my house, because I'm not so good about this. I'm a little too ADD to remember. I want you to write down five people in your sphere of influence that God gave you, because you're the only one. I want you to put it somewhere, like on your fridge. And I want you every day this week to simply pray for them. It doesn't have to be a half-hour session. We're not monks. Bring them up. Say, Father, meet their needs. Draw them to you, Lord God. Do you know, I was talking to a dude who did this a few years ago. And he kind of took it as a challenge. God's not afraid of challenges, by the way. He wrote the five people he thought were least likely to ever come to God. This was 3 or 4 years ago. Every single one of them have come to God now. Because he faithfully sat there and prayed over them. Why not, guys? Why not? Is anybody else praying for those five people that you're thinking of? Probably not. Right? I'll tell you a story real quick. A preacher told, he was a real bold evangelist, because once you have met Christ Jesus, you want everybody to meet him. Once you realize the plight of not having Christ, you want to tell people, right? Honestly. So he goes in the airport and he sits down next to this guy and he just says, like, hey, do you know Jesus the Savior? And the guy goes, and I told somebody else this, he goes, oh man, my grandmama's prayers done caught up with me. He knew. And the guy was right. His grandmother had faithfully prayed for this guy and he gave his life to Christ right there. That's true. It's so true. So why don't you be the one praying for people that have no grandmama to pray for them like that? I didn't. Oh, wait. I found out later in life, 17 years old, someone shared the gospel with me. I had heard nothing about Jesus Christ. 17 years old. I went to school a couple miles that way. Grew up in this area that God has put us in today. And I did not know about Jesus. Who's Jesus? I don't. Some guy, teacher, something about sheep. My dad says his name when he stubs his toe or when he gets upset. That's all I knew about God. Maybe a few things because I'd gone to a funeral. That's what we're looking at in this North Country. Anybody ever heard the saying from the Bible, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few? We are going to harvest, right? Well, anyway, so I'm sitting there playing basketball at my buddy's house, and a dude says to me, his name was Al DiLorenzo, older dude, old Italian boxer, says to me, hey, come here. And I'm like, no. And I go in. He's a scary guy. And he goes, hey, you want to accept Jesus? You know what's funny, guys? I really did. There was something going on inside of me that he had no idea about. He didn't know that a month earlier I had a dream that I couldn't shake about my own mortality. A 17-year-old, I was like facing my own mortality. He didn't know that. He didn't know that God was preparing me for that moment, did he? All he did, he was faithful to just share what he knew. This week, guys, you're praying for those five people, but God might just be bringing you to that person. He's already done the work. He already planted the seed and made sure that ground is ripe. Al just gave me the opportunity. I swear to you. And my life, her life, our children's life, my mother, my father, my brother, his wife, my entire family got saved in the last 10, 15 years. I don't think that happens without Al DiLorenzo saying, hey, Jay, you want to accept Jesus? My whole family got saved, you guys. Nobody had ever stepped foot in a church. Isn't that crazy? This is what can happen. This is why we're talking about evangelism today. This week, look for opportunities. Just share what you know. Share your story. Last week we talked about that. Your testimony is your most powerful weapon. Well, I'll tell you, right? Well, what about Jesus? And what do you think about this and gay marriage and abortion? Whoa. Let me just tell you who God is in my life, bro. Work all that stuff out. That's what Google's for. And we pay a guy. You want to go sword to sword about theology? I'll do that. You just tell your story. Just tell your story. That's the most powerful thing you can do. All right? A city on a hill cannot be hidden, says one scripture I skipped. So exciting times, guys. Keep an eye out for this. More details are coming. Start hyping people, too. If you see an opportunity and someone's into exercising and all that, yo, we're going to be doing a basketball league pretty soon. We're going to start be doing exercises. Want me to let you know? You want to come with me? Right? Let's get relationships going. Let's be a part of what he's doing. Because, guys, the last thing I'm going to say about this, what we do in this realm echoes through eternity. You have no idea how important and how powerful and big this is. If your life gets one, if God uses your life to touch one life and bring them to Christ Jesus, come on, do you understand what I'm saying? We're talking about eternity here. So let's partner with God. I'm not sure what song we have right now, but let's do this thing, Gordo. Oh, there you go. Never let go. Yeah. You never let go of us, Lord Jesus. And we're going to tell others about that, in fact. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. When I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go with every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. See a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth, and I will fear no evil. For my God is with me, and if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. In every low, oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles, for until that day comes, still I will praise you. I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Coming through the storms, whoa, no, you never let go with every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, oh Lord, you never let go of me. No matter what we're facing today, let's make this personal. One more time, we're singing, oh no, you never let go through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go with
with every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for all that you've done. We were reminded that you never let go of us. We're not facing anything alone, Father. And we desperately want that for those we love, for those we know, Lord. We want to be obedient to you when you've told us to go and tell the good news of what you've done for us. That you're not mad at people, that you don't hate people, Father. That you, Lord Jesus, have done everything to bring them into your family. So give us boldness this week, Father God. And please remove the fear that comes with sharing our faith, with being Christ to those around us, with inviting people to church, Father God, with praying for others. Help us to be bold, Lord God, and propelled by all that you've done for us, that you've never let go of us. May that be what propels us, your unending love and amazing grace, Father. And so again, we ask that you'd help us to be faithful in prayer and to be good witnesses for you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father God. We thank you. We actually lay our burdens upon you today, Lord God. There's struggles that didn't get prayed for today, Father, but you alone know what we need, and we trust you. In the name of Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we worship you and love you, Lord God. Amen. All right, everybody, have a great week. Go Pack, go.